This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kurt Heelan is our buddy from NBC, does pro hoop talk on NBC, and he's back on the bench. How you doing, Kurt?
I'm doing well. I'm not as well as Myers Leonard, but I'm doing well.
Yeah, well, I thought he had a great first half. He hasn't done anything the rest of the game.
Now, they adjust a little bit, and, you know, let's be honest, 25 points and a half, maybe a little on 10 of 12 shooting, maybe peak Myers Leonard. I'm not sure we will ever see that Myers Leonard again.
Well, I mean, I'll give him this. At least he was all fired up and, like, enthusiastic about, like, their performance in the first half. It's a little weird for me to see a team or a guy, like, celebrating as much as he was when they're down 3-0 in the series. Like, he's really into it. I thought it was a little embarrassing.
Yeah, they're a little over top, but I think that this is where, look, professional athletes in every level, every sport, like, you're not there if you're not competitive. And they know what the writing on the wall is, but they don't want to lose in front of their home fans. They don't want to get swept. They want, you know, it's a gentleman's sweep. It'll come home. And part of it was, I mean, Andre Iguodala is sitting tonight because of his calf thing. They're not going to rush him back. And I don't know how much of this you've been able to watch because you've been on the air. Steve Kerr has played the kind of rotation you would see in a back-to-back game in January. Like, he was 11 deep on the bench in the first half. Guys you haven't heard of are getting huge minutes. I don't want to say not taking it seriously because they would like to win and close this out, but he knows they're going to close this out in Game 5, and they still have more than a week off before the final starts, so they're not stressing.
Do you think that because they're down 7 right now, and I've been watching them. To me, they're just going through the motions, and it's like they're not even trying tonight. It's weird, but it is what it is. Do you think that they still have a shot to win this game?
Yeah, because they're the Warriors. They could literally, in this series and in this game in particular, I mean, if they're there, like you said, they're down 7. That's 3 possessions for them. Like, and they're suddenly up. Like, they are capable of putting together a 4 or 5 minute run that ends this thing. I'm not sure if they're going to. Like I said, they seem, like you said, they're not, I don't want to say not trying. They did this all season, though, didn't they, Scott? Like, you'd be like, oh man, here they go. They got Toronto on national TV. You're going to see the fired up. Oh no, they tanked. They didn't care. Yeah. They really, like, this team is, when challenged, exceptional. But they weren't challenged tonight, and it shows.
Yeah, what did you think of Saturday night when Steph dropped 36 and they won that game and the series was over at that point? You know, you go up 3. I don't care. Yeah. I really don't care what happens tonight. I'm with you. They have. I give them zero chance of winning the series.
Oh, yeah, no, this is a horrible match. I mean, look, Myers Leonard went off for 25. Damian Lillard's been knocking down shots. They've played as well as I think they're going to, you know, Portland, playing really well, making some plays, getting energy from the bench guys. And they're up 7. It's not like they're blowing the Warriors out. They're, like, at home. They were up 4 at the half. Like, this is a relatively tight game, and the Warriors couldn't care less. Like, it's just a horrible matchup for them.
Yeah, I'm watching.
They don't care.
I'm watching Curry shooting air balls. Like, I'm like, he's chucking shots from, like, absolutely. Yeah. It's like, I don't know what I'm watching right now, but it's not the team that built a 3-zip lead. Sometimes, yeah. I mean, this is, I don't know. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but it really isn't, if you ask me, a good game. It's just, it's yawner.
Yeah. And like I said, the Warriors, and they did this. They just, during the season, they took nights off. This is one of those nights where they did not mentally come focused to play playoff basketball or even, frankly, great basketball, period. And he didn't get away with that a little during the season because, you know, you do that in Memphis on an off night and they could still win. But it's not going to happen this night.
You know, in the last 3 years in the playoffs, Houston 5-8 against the Warriors, the rest of the NBA 5-34. Clips beat them twice, Pels once, Spurs once, Cavs once. The Jazz and Blazers have never beat them. If the Blazers win tonight, they're up 5. If they win, it'll be the first time they've ever beaten them in the playoffs. They're 0-6 against them. It's just crazy the domination that this team has had over everyone.
there's only one team that's beaten them in a series in the last, well, as of tonight, will be five seasons. The only team to beat them in a playoff series was the 2016 Cavaliers, with peak LeBron James playing out of his head, just insane basketball, and all the other breaks that had to go their way. Draymond Green getting suspended. Everybody forgets Andrew Bogut got hurt in that series, and it really set their defense back. Like, all these things had to go their way. Like, nobody beats this team. And I think Milwaukee can push them. It's a really interesting matchup, but I still don't think they can beat them. And I just think first time in the finals, they're just not going to be ready for what's about to hit them.
Kurt Heelan of NBC with us. So a couple weeks ago, I reported on this show that I had heard from my sources that Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka were busted by Magic talking smack about him behind his back. And that I literally said that this guy is the reason he's quitting the Lakers. When it happened, when he quit that day, I said it's because that guy is sticking knives in his back. That's why he quit today with no warning, with no telling anyone, not LeBron, nobody. He just quit that day and just said, I'm out, bye. And it was because of, I said on the air, that Pelinka was the reason, because he's sticking knives in his back. And then whatever, 2-3 weeks later, it comes out, he does this interview today. What did you think when he basically said the exact same thing, that it's Pelinka the reason he quit?
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I don't doubt that. Look, I had heard going back to last summer, not from Pelinka, from other people with the Lakers, other sources within close to the Lakers, let's put it that way, that, look, Magic parachutes in. Magic, now apparently this was cleared with Jeannie Buss, but basically he said, I'm not dropping my other businesses. So what he'd do is parachute in for 2 or 3 days, a couple times a month, and talk to guys on the phone and stuff, but it wasn't hands-on. And if you are the president of basketball operations, just like the head of football, you know, you're the GM or whatever the formal title is going to be for the head of football operations or an NHL team or whatever, that is a full-time grinding job, right? That's not even a 40-hour week or a 60. That is a long, hard job. And getting to, like, fire the coach or make a trade or have the hammer on a trade is, like, a small percentage of the job, right? Like, you have got to show up and set a culture tone and do all this stuff that's just work. And Magic didn't do that, but I don't think Pelinka helped the cause. Pelinka was making a power play behind his back. I think all that is true, but I'll tell you the other thing, Scott. I watched that today, watched it with Clint live on the replay, and I was like, Magic didn't understand the job. He really didn't understand what it was entailed. Because you're like, Rob Pelinka's sticking knives in my back, and the younger bus kids are angling for this, and Tim Harris from the CEO, the business side CEO, is kind of coming over to the basketball side and all this stuff. And you're like, you know what your job as president of basketball operations is? Deal with that. That is exactly what the job is. He didn't seem to get it. He thought Jeannie would deal with all that, and he could treat this like a basketball consultant position rather than doing the job.
Wow. Kurt Heelan telling it like it is. So, now that it's Vogel and Pelinka and basically the rest of this mess, it is a mess with the Rambis husband-wife mess, and then this Harris guy, no one even knows who that is, but like in terms of fans or anything else.
No.
Moving forward, I have to tell you, I still think they're an absolute mess. An utter mess.
It's a disaster, yeah. No, they are. It's weird, Scott. If I had said 10 years ago that the Lakers would be by far the worst run organization of the two LA basketball teams, like, you would laugh out of the room, right?
Right.
Like, and here we are. Like, the Clippers are I don't want to say the model. I suppose the Spurs might still be the model, but like, they're now like, look how well run they are. Look how well they're doing this. That's what everybody says about them. It's why they're going to be in the running for free agents this summer. And the Lakers aren't. And all that said, they're still the Lakers with LeBron James, and they could totally back into a successful summer. They could still end up landing somebody and maybe get a couple of decent role players to go around it, and the thing will just look better than it did last year, and they'll be a playoff team and maybe a decent one. They could back into this, but it's not because they're well-run.
Do you think Davis will go there after all?
I would say that the Lakers' offer got a lot better. It got considerably better, noticeably better with that number 4 pick. What I have heard, what a lot of people have heard, what I've heard is if Boston's willing to go all in, if it's Jason Tatum and the Memphis pick and, you know, whatever it takes to make the salaries match, that will still win the day. But I don't, you know, we don't know if Boston's going to do that because there's Kyrie in there and all this other stuff. So it is possible he ends up there. I think he is the second, the Lakers are the second most likely choice. And that's not counting, by the way, the Clippers are some weird team jumping in the mix and surprising everybody too. So I would still bet the field over the Lakers, but I think the Lakers have a shot. But I think they're going to get somebody this summer. Maybe it's Jimmy Butler. Maybe it's, you know, Kemba Walker. Maybe it's a lot of things. I think they're going to get somebody this summer. Whether that's good enough and whether they can put the pieces around LeBron and said star to actually win a lot of games is the million-dollar question. They've got to – it's not – they did a horrible job of building the roster around LeBron last year. Hopefully they learned a couple lessons.
What did you think of the Bickerstaff, Cleveland hire, Minnesota, sticking with Ryan Saunders, Flip's kid, and Trajan Langdon going to New Orleans? That's a nice gig for him.
New Orleans is – talk about an organization that has flipped and is running really well under David Griffin, and Trajan Langdon's going to have a lot of power there and a great position for him. Yeah, no, I love how they are setting up. At least, you know, we'll see what happens. But that is an organization that was making desperation moves and is playing it really smart. Saunders is fine. He got through to Carl Anthony Towns. They had a connection. That's half the gig. Put him with an experienced assistant coach, and it's good. And by the way, I love the J.B. Bickerstaff hire. You needed an experienced NBA guy on the bench next to a Beeline. You got one. You got a good, solid guy who can walk him through a lot of the NBA nuances he's just not going to be ready for. So I think those are all really solid hires.
A tie game now on a Curry layup. It's at 104s in a timeout. Let me ask you, have you heard about after the combine or whatever, the Taco Fall and Brandon Clark's stock rose?
Brandon Clark's stock was already rising. There's a lot of teams that are kind of sneaky high on him. He can defend. Guy can flat out defend, and that's caught teams' attention in a draft where once you get past three, there's a lot of debate. He's climbing. Taco is still – he's still a roll of the dice. He's still a second round, maybe this can work out type of thing. He did move better and do some things at the combine that were better, but he's a project. He is just a project. But kind of like Manute Bol, a project somebody may – not Manute Bol, Bol Bol. Manute Bol's a tad old for the NBA at this point. Bol Bol – it's the kind of gamble where, you know what, somebody will say, you know what, this might be worth it. Let's see if we can make it work.
So, lastly, explain to me how it is that, because there's no way I'm taking this kid Darius Garland over the kid Hunter that plays such great defense at Virginia. But why are people high on Darius Garland? This is another Markelle Fultz, if you ask me, a guy that they're talking, he's got such long arms and he's so fast. Yeah. And he's so, oh my God, you got to be, he's going to be the one guy in the top five every year that for the last 40 years that sucks in the NBA, right?
Look, he is an aggressive scoring guy at the position. Everybody wants more athleticism, so that's moved him up the board. I'm with you, by the way. I think Hunter is the – everybody's got R.J. Barrett third. Assuming that's the consensus, then I think Hunter is going to be a good, not just average, like a good 3-and-D rotation player on a good team for 12 years in this league.
I agree.
I don't know that he's a future all-star. He's one of those guys who might just always kind of be short of it. But, man, he is going to help your team for a long time.
Yeah, I'm all over him. I can't even believe this other stuff. Kurt, always love talking rack with you. Enjoy the rest of the game. Thanks for coming on the bench, brother.
Hey, I love it, man. Thanks. Take care, buddy.
All right, Kurt Heelan of NBC.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.